This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
We got a couple of shows last weekend. We got a show coming up this weekend, so we're going to get through as much as we can. NXT Heatwave kicked off with that winner-take-all match. Carly Armstrong did get added to it since we talked, but it was ultimately Zarya who walked out now with the unified North American and Speed Championship.
Not really a surprise. But I do think that Rin's in a much better place now than she was, say, a year ago when she was trying to join the NQCC and all that. And I think she is set up to be somebody who can probably replace Zarya once Zarya moves on to either the main roster or the main championship.
Yeah, I think Zarya, I think as we talked about it last week, Zarya was the obvious win here. Throwing in Carly Armstrong was a bit of a wrench, but ultimately I think the right person walked out with both of the titles now to be one title. And let Zarya continue to reign for a little while until she is, as you say, ready to go up, either up diagonally or straight up. And I'm gonna stick around there because Ren Sinclair's bestie friend Kendall Gray was also defending her NXT Women's Championship, the title we said Zarya may go for in the future, but it won't be held by Kendall.
No, honestly, I'm not again. I'm going to say it again. Not surprised. I think WWE thinks highly of Kalani Jordan. And the proof for that is bringing her the championship on her. I think Kendall had a fine championship reign. But I do think Kendall, I think Kalani will make a better person for somebody like Zarya to chase if they want her to be the next NXT champion. Or if they want Jada Parker to chase her.
Yeah, makes sense. And Kendall Gray, I think her new champ buff had just started wearing off. She got shot up the card, wins the big title, gets that sort of record against her name so that now she can stay up in that main event section of NXT and always be a credible threat for the championship. She's done it once. She could do it again. Kalani Jordan worked hard. We saw her as the TNA Knockouts champion. We saw her all around the card putting on banger feuds. And I think it's good that she's rewarded with that main championship. And is one of my people who I think could potentially move on to that main roster, you know, within the next 12 months. So I'm excited to see what Kalani does with the women's championship. If it is a rematch with Kendall, moving on with Jada, or continuing with Jada, I guess. Zarya coming up here, Ren trying to defend her friend's honor. There's a lot of options you can go with. A new champion always does unlock a whole lot of things for you. And I guess to round out the women's matches, because we have mentioned her name, Jada Parker was going up against Natty in a submission match and managed to come out with the win.
Yeah, Natty's at the point of her career, at least of WWE. Outside of it is kind of bizarro world, but inside the house of WWE, her job is to put people over. That is her job now. and putting Jada over was the right call.
Yeah, I think so as well. With Natty winning here, then you start this was potentially an informal number one contendership match. Do I want to see Natty versus Kalani Jordan? Sure. But I'd rather Jada Parker get the rub off of Natty here and move up the card if that's what they're going to do with Jada straight after this. Natalia's sort of faction or group behind her, Nikita Lyons sticking around, but it looks like Carmen Petrovic has formalized her move to Los Perros del Mar on AAA. So things not looking great for Natty and storyline with the loss here and losing one of her proteges. But we'll see what she can rebuild over the coming weeks. I think there was a lot of shakeups on NXT Heatwave. There was a lot of title changes, and that means we're in that period where we're going to be building new feuds. People are going to be jostling for places. You got to figure out where everybody's going to sit. And much like those three matches all kind of interlinked, the next two matches both interlink with the NXT Tag Team Championships up first. It was Miles Bourne and Tavian Heights going in as champion, going up against the Vanity Project.
Again, I think it was kind of a theme for the entire show. There was no surprise here. The tag team with the faction took the tag titles. Wasn't really a surprise.
Yeah, I think when you've got someone like the Vanity Project, obviously with four members, a name, you know, as you say, the faction, the defined group, going up against the Slam Together, Miles Bourne and Tavian Heights, and I know they have history and everything, but at this point in their careers, they are two singles guys jammed together, presumably. You know, we'll talk about the North American Championship match in a second, but presumably out of this, we're meant to be spinning some sort of Bourne Heights piece, because the Vanity Project did steal the tag team gold, and they also managed to steal the North American gold as well while they were at it.
And I said there was no way Miles Bourne was walking out with the North American Championship. He might walk out with the tag titles, but there was no way he was also walking out with both his titles. And he ended up walking out with none. And also no best friend anymore.
I think that's the two pieces spinning off of this, right? Miles Bourne, Tavian Heights, they've obviously got a fracture between them now. And then the second piece is the Vanity Project draped in all the gold.
Yeah. Should be fun to see how that plays out, because they clearly want to focus on them as the villain in NXT right now. So, they all got the gold, and we'll see how they perform as champions.
Yeah, there is one person in the group, obviously, without gold, Micah Lockwood. Is that a potential Zarya match for the North American Championship? I don't know if she'd go all the way straight up to the Women's Championship, but maybe the next Women's North American Champion? And would we then have Big Meaty Woman slapping meat? It doesn't hit the same. It doesn't sound the same. But I think, as you say, the Vanity Project, they're not on my list of people to get called up soon. I think that they're going to rule over NXT for a little while. Whether they do capture the big title or not, don't know, but they're going to at least rule over that mid-card tag team scene where you're probably going to have to beat them if you want to move on up to the big boys. And then speaking of those big boys, we had our Fatal 4-Way main event for the NXT Championship. Tony D'Angelo coming in as champion. Cruz Montana standing opposite him. Zilla Fatu standing opposite him. And Grayson Waller somehow, above all odds, coming out with that championship.
What? Didn't somebody say that the last couple times somebody went down from the main roster, they won the NXT title?
Nah, I never heard that in my life.
I'm interested because Grayson Waller is like one of the better heels in the company. They just make you hate him. But hey, a North American NXT champion from your local area.
That is true. I'll take it. At this point, I just kind of got to claim all of Australia, New Zealand. But yeah, it'll be cool to see Grayson Waller with it. Last member of that NXT 2.0 team from War Games as well to grab it. It was felt almost do or die, right? When you come down to NXT from the main roster, especially after your main roster most recent run not being amazing. You appeared with the New Day, who jumped ship, and you come down to NXT. It's like, you're either going to win this title and it's going to be a big thing, or you're about to fade into obscurity until your contract is up. So I'm definitely glad that it is this side of things, and look forward to seeing what Grayson does. Honestly, he wouldn't be out of place to slot himself with the Vanity Project. Not necessarily in it or leading them, but he's in that same vein heel kind of space of things. So NXT's got a type in terms of who's at the top of all the divisions right now, except Zarya. Zarya's just scary.
Yeah, Grayson Waller is somebody who, basically what I've seen the last couple of weeks, he's just ticking off anybody and everybody down there, which is going to build towards somebody being built up to come knock his block off eventually. Whether it was somebody who was in the match with him, not Tony D'Angelo, or somebody else on the roster, is yet to be seen. But I don't think he'll hold the title long. Maybe to January, but I don't think he'll hold it much beyond that.
Yeah, it's fair. That is definitely fair. Well, we're roughly halfway through the show, and we're going to talk more about Saturday or Sunday night's main event on the other side of the song. But for now, we're going to go into that entrance theme of the week, and it is our new NXT Women's Champion, Kalani Jordan, playing for you now. Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. At time of recording, we've got four matches announced for Sunday night's main event. Gonna look first at this six-woman tag team match: Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Tatum Paxley versus Jade Cargill, Meechan, and B-Fab. Been building over several weeks, and now we get the clash.
I think this is where I think they want to hurt her that much. So I think she ever pinning. I'll go with pinning Minshew because I think it would be more realistic. But if she pinned Cargill, I think that would say something. But
Yeah.
It's just going to be fun watching these three, Flair, Bliss, and Paxley work off of each other the next few months. And just see where they go from here. But I think this is the Tatum Paxley breakout.
Yeah, she's coming up. She's got that new debut buff. She's also got Charlotte Flair on her team, which gives her team even more buff. It's not quite the Rhea Ripley or the Roman Reigns buff, but it's still a pretty good one. It does mean, you know, that the faces coming into it are the favorites. When you look at Jade Cargill's team and, you know, B-Fab and Meechan haven't, they're not as high up the card. Let's put it that way. So Jade Cargill really the only massive obstacle on the other side of things. We know Charlotte Flair is beefing with her, as you say. It would be interesting to see Tatum Paxley take her down. Alexa Bliss, probably the least interesting part of her team. She is trying to keep it all together. But in terms of spinning out of this match, for me, it's what does Charlotte do next? What does Paxley do next? Yeah, I reckon as well that it will be the Flair Bliss Paxley team that comes out on top on Sunday. Baron Corbin has a match. I'm going to read it as written. Okay, Baron Corbin's got a match against Lil Yachty. It's a singles match with a 5-minute time limit. If Lil Yachty can last those 5 minutes, Trick Williams will receive a rematch for the United States Championship against Corbin on the same night as a part of Sunday night's main event. That was a mouthful.
Baron Corbin has 2 matches, not one. Because you don't do this match without doing the second match.
Could be funny.
And yes, but I think I will say this, regardless of how we feel about his role, I respect the heck out of Lil Yachty for getting in the ring and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he I think he'll barely survive. I think what'll happen is he'll get hit by new in the end of days at 4:58.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll fact that the three count can't be completed in the 5-minute time limit, and they'll immediately do the match with Trick Williams.
Classic speed title match. 5-minute time limit. Finisher just on the bell. It works.
Yep. And then Baron Corbin still retains.
Don't hit me with that afterwards. You give me hope with Lil Yachty just lasting 5 minutes, and then you just hit me with the "and Baron Corbin retains." I also agree, but hey, you don't have to hit me with it. I think we're quite invested in this Trick Williams moving up, be it Money in the Bank, be it into the main event scene for SmackDown, that him winning the United States title would be a bit of a step backwards on his momentum. So I don't know how you pull off Baron Corbin winning again without, you know, probably not cleanly, just so that Trick doesn't lose that momentum, but I see him landing up in a Money in the Bank qualifier match in the next couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah. I think it might be very similar to SummerSlam, where Yachty ends up accidentally costing him the match.
Yeah, especially if Yachty's also beaten up, dinged up from his match. You know, you could say that he's making a simple mistake or he's done something a little bit wrong.
It would be hilarious if Yachty got Trick Williams disqualified.
Then why did he do all of his 5 minutes? He put in all the hard work just to end in a disqualification. But yeah, I agree. I think Lil Yachty lasts the 5 and Baron Corbin still walks away with the championship. And if this is the swan song for Lil Yachty, he's going to move on, you know, and Trick stick around into that main event. I hope it's a good 5 minutes. Let's see what he's got. I think after we've had a couple of really good celebrities, I'm hesitant to write anybody off until I see him in that ring, so show me what you have. Then we've got two big singles matches. Let's talk Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton first. Obviously, they've got their history going back many years, but most recently to WrestleMania. No championships, no sidekicks, just Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton.
This is how it should have been. I love the fact that Randy Orton has, like, channeled his inner 2009 Randy during this feud. By the way, he is absolutely gone. Everybody Cody Rhodes loves. And I'm interested in seeing where they come out with this.
Yeah, I don't really know what comes out of it, right? Cody Rhodes obviously perpetually on the top for SmackDown, but Randy Orton can always go. I just don't really know where they're going to go with it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I've loved everything that they've done with this feud, with the way Randy Orton has been peak 2009 Randy Orton, with the way he has gone after the family of Cody. Mm-hmm. But I think it might come down to something Cody said. Something that Cody said that's made the internet stir. A reference to Paul Heyman. By saying he was going to win the match and it was a spoiler, not a prediction. Could it be the key that unlocks the door the way Paul Heyman unlocked the Tribal Chief? And we get whatever version of heel Cody we can get.
I don't know. There's so many different ways that you can spin out of this Cody Rhodes, Randy. The most likely, Cody Rhodes continues going on as he is, but I wouldn't mind a shakeup. I wouldn't mind a Randy Orton win and Randy Orton going on for another great run. I don't know. I have seen enough for a while of Cody Rhodes as just, you know, perpetually the champion or the next guy chasing, sort of superhero of SmackDown. I could do it with a bit of a change up. I wouldn't be mad. But it is interesting, you know, we got that singles match, people with years of history, couple of legends. And then our other singles match, the future, Obafemi Bron Breakker going head to head. You mentioned Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman not really picking a side when it comes to this match. The guy who retired his main guy and the guy he's meant to be, you know, managing the stable of going mano y mano.
I think if we don't see Paul and Cody form their union soon, I do think that I would kind of lean more towards him picking Oba over Braun, because there was definitely some interesting, like, facial emotion whenever he was around whichever one he was around. I think I would pick Oba, by the way, but I think if you're going to build Braun, probably pinning Oba would probably be a better call. But it's kind of hard to pick over right now.
Yeah. I think Oba's come off a massive run, you know, SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar. He's King of the Ring. He's practically unstoppable. And so, as you say, massive rise up the card for Braun if he does manage to defeat the ruler. But the momentum is with Femi. You can't go against this guy. The Paul Heyman aspect is an interesting one. I do think it will play into the match. I don't know how. Personally, I think that Obafemi is a great talker without Heyman. So I'd be a little disappointed if they just end up pairing Femi and Heyman and have Heyman do all the talking. I think what could be interesting is Heyman picking his side, being Femi, and Femi being like, yo, I respect you, but I don't need you. And it sort of leaves Paul either, you know, to go grovel back to the Vision or just homeless in a way without any superstars to manage. But I don't think Femi needs him. But I think it could be interesting to include him in a part of it. Maybe he doesn't feel like his win was deserved because he only won because Heyman interfered. And he wants to go clean again with Braun. There's a few ways they can spin it. But ultimately, I just want to see, you know, two of the futures go head to head and see what they can put on, see who sort of impresses me more. And in the ending minutes of the show, we will talk something that is not Sunday night's main event, and that is that Penta, as expected, defeated his brother in a banger of a match on Raw and will go head-to-head with Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship next week on Raw in Mexico.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really good match. I'm very interested in seeing what Penta and Reigns can do, because I think that will be a pretty good match. But I think the whole purpose of this tournament wasn't just to give Reigns a standby opponent. It was also to elevate both Penta and Phoenix. And I think it did a pretty good job at that.
100%. I think, you know, Penta was already pretty high stocks, but it's given Phoenix a chance to showcase himself, as has all of the matches on SmackDown, NXT, all of the brands for his championship. But this was just, you know, a continued showcase of Phoenix bringing him up to his brother's level and sets us up in the future, whether they want a team because they still have respect for each other, whether Phoenix wants to prove he can beat his brother. There's a whole lot you can do with them. And this is the right way to do it. Small interactions, not forcing them together to be a team for the sake of it. I like it. Alrighty, well, that is all we've got time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Maybe.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingrndup, our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestlingrndup, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup. And we will see you next week. And taking the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never an error on record. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.